Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
The Coaches Network, bringing the game together.
You've got a lot of learning to do and you don't know nothing. Like when you're 16, you think you might know a bit about football, but in the development of as a coach, you don't know half as much as some other people.
Hey guys, you're now listening to the Coaches Network podcast, a podcast aimed at anyone who's passionate about athlete, talent and personal development. My name's Coach Yas and I'm a UEFA licensed football coach developer and content creator. I'll be sitting down with a range of guests to discuss their journeys, their life lessons and how you can make an impact. Enjoy. Right guys, welcome back to the Coaches Network. My name's Coach Yas and today I've got a very special guest with me. This morning my guest is Jack Hadby. Good morning Jack, how are you?
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you mate. Look, thank you again for being with us this morning. Jack, for those that aren't familiar with who you are and the work that you do, would you mind just giving us a bit of background as to what that is please?
Yeah, so obviously, as Jazz said, my name's Jack Hadley. I'm a football coach and currently working at Chelsea Academy as a goalkeeping coach within the 11s to 12s age bracket. And then also in another role with Asmir Begovic running his academy in Surrey.
Excellent. Look, Jack, you know, thank you for that. I just want to take you back to the start of your coaching journey, get right to the thick of it. You know, where did that begin? You know, you still look quite young.
Well, it started. I went to a college called Merrisville College down in Guildford Way, and it had a partnership with Chelsea Foundation, and sort of it was doing a college program on there, so like doing a BTEC and playing football, and part of it was doing your coaching badges. So I think I'd done level one when I was 16, like most people on the college courses, and then started working at Chelsea Foundation around 17. So that's how it sort of started back then.
Just in terms of your journey then, you know, what was it about, you know, the coaching pathway that you really caught your eye? Obviously, you fell into the qualifications as part of your, I guess, your college program.
Yeah.
Was there anything particular that stood out for you when you first started getting involved in that you thought, do you know what, actually, this is definitely a path I want to go down?
Yeah, I think when I was younger, I played football, like grassroots, nothing major, and then went to the college program where the level of coaching was just better, and I sort of felt myself improving as well as all the other players did. So I thought, well, this is quite interesting. Wonder how they get the best out of you. And then sort of started doing the coaching badges and then, yeah, just went from there really, just connecting with people and really got the hook of trying to improve someone. And I wanted to be part of that really.
So, you know, you talked there about, you know, just looking at how maybe coaches get the best out of players. Was there anything particular that you kind of came across within your experience as a player at that time that you thought, do you know what, I'm really interested to know a little bit more about that, or there was something quite intriguing about the way the coaches worked with you?
Yeah, just I think being the goalkeeper, I had a goalkeeper coach at the time called Stuart Searle. I'm sure most people might know him. He is now the ladies' first team goalkeeper coach at Chelsea. And it was just like little things, the details of the coaching points I got, because I had goalkeeper coaches before, but no one really went into that detail and obviously the individual time spent with you. And then it came to sort of playing out from the back, which I hadn't done before. So it was new learning experiences and just finding out the little details that made you a better player or gave you that bit more time on the ball.
So just, you know, obviously to kind of develop on that then, you know, you talked about the little details. Now, I'm interested to know then how has that maybe formed into the way that you work with your players at the moment?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think the little details, obviously, goalkeeping as a position, you'll know yourself as a coach in football that the finer details are massive for the individual. So I think even like the little pinpointing things around players' movements or the technique they're using, like how they scan all them little bits. I think at the moment, that's definitely a way I like to coach as well. So really making it individualised even if it's in a group session, if that makes sense.
No, definitely. And, you know, kind of just kind of, you know, looking at your role then, you know, currently under 11s, under 12s, was it that you said?
Yeah, goalkeeping coach, yeah.
Working with the 12s and 11s goalkeepers at Chelsea. What does that role entail for those that maybe aren't familiar with the, you know, academy environment and I guess the role of a goalkeeper coach within that setting?
Yeah, so obviously, firstly, it's to develop the goalkeepers within that bracket, but sort of preparing them for the next phase going up, but also sort of looking at them before they come to me. So when they're in the 9s and 10s, sort of towards the end of the 10s period, making sure that we're sort of keeping an eye on them. And then when they come to us, it's really about, like I say, developing the individual, but going through the transition of from 7-a-side to 9-a-side whilst they're with me, and then 11-a-side as they go on. So a lot happens within that sort of age bracket, physically as well, the development. So yeah, there's a lot to manage in there. And then that program would obviously be throughout the week and then matches at the weekend.
Mm. I want to kind of take you back, you know, to the beginning of that journey where you kind of embarked on your coaching journey. So you're 16, 17, you're looking up, you know, doing your level one. Did you do your level two at that point as well, or how did that work?
I think I did that when I was 18. So I think I'm just post-college level two, yeah.
And then obviously at the time, you know, just to kind of paint a bigger picture for the, you know, for the audience and the viewers on this.
Yeah.
How long ago are we talking then?
So I'm 25 now. So 7-8 years ago. Yeah.
7-8 years, you know, and were you coaching straight away from that point or?
Yeah, I literally went from 16 from obviously once I passed my level one, I sort of got the hook on it and I wanted to do more. So I'd done the youth modules. Like I say, done my level two outfield when I was 18 and done my level one goalkeeping about 6 months after passing level one outfield. And then I tried to get some experience working with a grassroots team. Mm. So yeah, I lived in Chipstead, Causden sort of area, which is in Surrey. And I managed to get a grassroots team called Mogador Rangers, which I've done 5 years there. Sounds like something off Game of Thrones, isn't it, that team? But yeah, so I've done 5 years there, voluntary, just working with the under 11s and under 12s. And then, yeah, literally covering everything there. So it was really good. Great experience.
Excellent. So, you know, you're still 25, still relatively young within a coaching context, but, you know, managed to get quite a few years of experience already starting young as well. You know, so yeah. I'm interested to know over that course of time, how have you found yourself developing and your, I guess, your way of working changing from age 16 to now to age 25?
Yeah, I think I always refer to this point. I think the people who are close to me know I'm quite confident, like within one-to-one stuff, but within groups or like having to stand up in front of people, I used to really not like that. And I think still now I get nervous doing it. So I think that's why coaching as well has been really good, because it brings you out your shell. Like you'll know when you go on coaching courses and you have to stand up and coach in front of people you'd never met or and then do presentations, stuff like that. I think that's really sort of helped me develop. And when I look back to being 16, I never would have done that. But coaching's really helped me in that role. Well, I've lost you a little bit. Yeah, I think.
You hear me now?
Mike, there you go. Yeah, sorry.
You talked earlier about, you know, looking at the finer detail of the goalkeeping position and the way that, you know, the coaches work with you. In terms of that detail piece, you know, you just to kind of paint a bigger picture for those giving a bit of insight on the goalkeeping courses, would you mind just going into a bit of detail around what it is that on maybe the level one goalkeeping course that you kind of picked up, and obviously since then, and you've gone to progress on to further goalkeeping qualification and outfield qualifications, presumably.
So
what that looks like.
Definitely. I think on the level one course, I've played in goal my whole life. Like I say, just grassroots and then with my friends still now. And you get an idea around the position, but like you say, it is that individual position where there's a lot of accountability for the player. They're saying goes wrong, but obviously the rewards when it goes right. So on the level one, you can expect more sort of the technical part of goalkeeping. So the handling, shapes, movement, the real basics, but making sure they're nailed down. And then as you sort of progress to level two, it's then looking more about how you apply the techniques when there's movement involved in opposition and like the skill-based element. And then when I've just recently done UEFA B goalkeeping in the summer, and that whole course was probably the best course I've ever done. In terms, I loved it. Like, it didn't feel like a course. Some of the people, we knew each other from working against each other on match days, and yeah, we got really close. But just in terms of the detail, that was phenomenal. I'm talking like the profiling of a goalkeeper. So the recruitment side of it, you learn all about that. The physical components, how to manage the different styles of goalkeepers. So if you've got a tall goalkeeper who's going through a growth spurt really on, and then you've got maybe a younger, shorter, more agile goalkeeper, how to manage that. So there was so much involved. And then like the tactical elements of the goalkeeper and the role within that, managing the unit. So there was loads, but it was one of them courses where I think I went through about 3 notepads in the time. So it was brilliant. Oh, sorry, as I think it keeps popping on mute.
I've got you. Yeah, I remember, you know, going on to that course myself a couple of years back, you know, with the goalkeeping B license, and, you know, I echo your views on that in the respect that it probably was the best course that I've been on, certainly as an experience anyway. I think the, you know, the tutors were fantastic, and I think the group as a whole was, you know, really good. And it really goes to show, especially from a goalkeeping perspective, how much detail goes into that position. And I strongly encourage anyone, you know, looking to kind of develop their knowledge and understanding of the game, more specifically the goalkeeping position, to definitely go on those courses. You know, I never actually did the level one, but I remember years back when I did the level two goalkeeping, and that, you know, I think the way in which it was delivered at the time and the practices and the type, you know, the perspectives they wanted us to see it from, definitely helped me with outfield coaching as well. You know, I'm just interested now, obviously, you know, you're currently working at the, you know, youth development phase goalkeeping coach with the 11s and 12s. How does one go from working in the foundation, or, you know, being a 16-year-old, getting the level one to that point there?
Oh, wow. Obviously, there's luck involved in terms of right place, right time when that opportunity comes up. I was fortunate that I was at Chelsea previously and was able to go for a sort of practical interview there from the foundation into that. And then end up going back 2 years, I think, after the interview, because an opportunity came up. So that was sort of how that happened. But in the meantime, like you say, doing the courses, and I went and worked at my old college where I'd done the level one. I ended up going back there for a year to sort of teach that course, not the teaching part, but the coaching part, so the football program. And then, yeah, in the meantime of that, I worked at Chipstead FC for 3.5 years as the under-18s goalkeeper coach and sort of assistant manager of the side that goes into competitions like the FA Youth Cup and playing against like Sutton United, teams like that. So that was probably a really good experience. And that was when I done my outfield B license, where you have to obviously do like the 18-game programme. So that was another experience I really liked. As much as I love goalkeeping, I think the managing side of the game and the competitive side, that was sort of something that drew me in as well. And there was probably a point about 4 years ago where I was, in what route do I want to go down, more than managing or goalkeeper coaching? But obviously now that's the goalkeeping coaching.
And, you know, in terms of obviously the goalkeeper coaching aspect, obviously, you know, traditionally what you tend to see is a lot of goalkeepers moving into goalkeeping positions. And, you know, maybe it's my naivety in this, but not many goalkeepers or goalkeeping coaches tend to go down the management route. What was it about specifically going on the goalkeeping coaching route that you felt was more aligned with your path?
I think experiences, like obviously you build up a sort of a bank of knowledge when you go on these courses and through all your experiences coaching. And obviously knowing that position, I felt that was probably more suitable for me at the time to do. There's no reason to say I wouldn't like to go into management further down the line. But I think at the moment, just sort of helping goalkeepers and now starting to get to the point where I'm finding being comfortable in that sort of role at Chelsea, and obviously trying to really develop there.
You know, you talk there about your role about, you know, with Chelsea, but you also mentioned at the top of this that you're doing a bit of work with Esmir Begovic and his academy there. What does that look like? And
yeah, so I sort of came through Esmir, someone from Chelsea passed over a contact to do some one-to-one coaching. I didn't know who it was, and it turned out to be a relative of his. And then it sort of went from there to he wanted to open up an academy in Surrey because he had one currently in Bosnia. So we opened that academy up in September 2019. That's based in Cobham, where we sort of run 3 evenings a week goalkeeper clinics for kids from age 7 to 16. And then on a Friday, we've got a senior session. So, it's gone to strength to strength. So it's doubled in the year we've done it. And it's now in its second season, obviously, albeit through the current pandemic, we're doing it all from home. So I'm sure like most coaches are trying to create sessions in your front room, out in your back garden. So yeah, that's how that came about, really.
And in terms of, you know, it's interesting you talked there about, you know, a lot of coaches having to do this, you know, I guess online platform of coaching. What does that look like for a goalkeeping coach? And what are some of the considerations you're making in terms of when you're, devising those sessions?
Yeah, there's so much in it. I think, if anything, it's made myself, and I'm sure you've had to do it as well, it's made you look at things as a coach in a completely different way. Because when you're at that maybe specific location where I know, right, I'm at Cobham and we've got a grass area, two goals, etc., six players. Now you're catering for players who are at home and they might have a different accessibility to a venue or a garden outside. They maybe don't have a goal. So you're making it a lot of it up from what you've got, really, experiences. So at the moment, it's a lot of, we're working on more reaction-based stuff. So can you use a wall in your house, for example, tennis balls, footballs, ping pong balls. We're working a lot of hand-eye coordination, short movements which a goalkeeper would make, but making them sort of explosive, but then having to cater for the fact that they might be upstairs and they don't want the noise downstairs. So there's a lot going into it, but it's been a good challenge because like things like this, doing podcasts are brilliant, and being involved in sort of that side of it, stuff you probably don't get to do as much.
I kind of just come back to your own journey then, you know, talking, you're now moving into, you know, you're in that elite setting. You know, you've come from a background of working in grassroots, moving into that setting. I'm interested to know some of the, maybe the influences in on your journey in terms of the way that you work, and maybe what the biggest lessons you've learned from those experiences, whether they be individuals or from particular instances that you've been in, where you felt actually this is now shifted my mindset, or, you know, if you get where I'm going with that.
Yeah, I've got a few, to be honest. I've got obviously that group of coaches when I was first at Marist Wood who have now gone on to, some of them in the Women's Super League, some of them academy coaches, some went to America, Dubai to coach. So those sort of, that core group of first set of coaches I had at college really sort of shifted my mindset to, I want to do this for a job and a career and see where it can go. And one of my closest friends, his name's Rob Jones, he works for Crystal Palace in the under-10s group. I've known him for years, and he was a really forward-thinking coach. I think when he was 16, he sort of invited me to come along to Mogadore Rangers. So he probably first got me into coaching, I'd say, as the first person. We're the same age, but we sort of fell into it at 16, wanted to give it a go. And it went from there, really. So in terms of people I've got to thank for that, it probably would be Rob and setting that experience off in the first place.
Mm. And you talk, obviously, you know, him bringing you along to, I guess, the world of Game of Thrones. You know, I think it's interesting. I just kind of shed a bit more insight around, you know, goalkeeping. And for those coaches who may be looking to get a bit more knowledge on the goalkeeping position, what are some of the, you know, key things that you maybe look to identify as potential indicators for, especially at that young age, you know, working with 9s and 10s and then obviously then moving into 11s and 12s. What are some of the things that you're looking for as to identify as a potential goalkeeper, or, you know, good at strong attributes within a goalkeeper? You know, I think so many people talk about this idea of, oh, he's a good shot stopper, she's a good shot stopper, but, you know, that's what they're meant to do.
Yeah.
You know, look outside of that shot stepping element, what are some of the things that you consider as, I guess, key and vital to that position?
Yeah, there's obviously, depending on, like I say, on the individual, but the biggest thing I look for is a character at the start. Was it does take someone maybe different mentality to playing in goal, especially at that age, like boy or girl, or male or female as they get older. But in terms of, yeah, character's a big one. Like you say, if someone saves shots and everyone's praising them, it's great. But at the same time, that's what you're in goal to do. It soon turns if you're not saving the shots and they're going, why is he playing in goal? So, yeah, the first thing for me is probably character, and then a little bit of understanding. At 9, 10, it's obviously all the way through, it's enjoyment. But at that time, you're looking to see, right, do they actually understand why they're playing in goal and why they've made that type of save? And then, obviously, you're looking at a little bit of bravery as well. So, because diving at people's feet at that age, or getting the ball hit at you and it's freezing cold and you see it on a Sunday morning, not the best pitch. So, yeah, so probably bravery, character, and obviously a little bit of combination of an athlete as well. So are they quick off their line, quick around the goal, can they jump, there's loads of things you can develop as a goalkeeper or a goalkeeper coach, but there's always that one thing that you're hoping standing out.
Mm. And, you know, it's just in terms of kind of on that then, you know, you talk there about, it depends obviously on the characteristics of the goalkeeper and the individual in themselves. You know, I'm interested to know now then, have you worked with any players who you thought they're completely unorthodox, but they're actually, you know, they're still achieving, I guess, or, you know, their targets and their goals and whatnot, and you kind of have to maybe shift your approach and working in a different way to kind of cater for that?
Yeah, definitely. I think you, as a goalkeeper and coach, you come across goalkeepers who, like we say, go through that adolescent stage really early, and they might be really tall and uncoordinated and not flexible, but because they're so tall, they can make a save where they haven't had to move their feet, etc. And it doesn't look, it might not look right, and you might say that's not the perfect technique, but they're still keeping the ball out of the goal. So yeah, as we come, then it becomes a point of, right, he's making the save, but how can I develop the physical part for him or his movement to make it more natural while he's going through that uncoordinated stage? And the flip side, you might have a goalkeeper who's really quick but small, and they're making unbelievable, like, top corner saves where the taller goalkeeper's probably just tipping it over. So then you're trying to work the technical part and physical part. But I think, yeah, like you say, you have to adapt your game coaching-wise to the individual. But we see that a lot, that goalkeeping, although it's one position, you might have four or five different styles of a goalkeeper. So, yeah, that's my favourite bit to work with, because you see kids trying to replicate, oh, I like Kasper Schmeichel, so I'm going to start spreading myself around the goal. And then you've got other goalkeepers who are like, maybe like Courtois, who are just dominant in the air. So yeah, that's good. I enjoy that part of it.
I can certainly resonate with that. You know, I think, you know, I come back to an experience I had a few years back when I was working with a bunch of goalkeepers. You know, I had six different goalkeepers from four different countries, and I thought, you know what, actually, I speak about this often, and I say, you know, that was probably one of the first moments where I actually had to take a step back sometimes and think, you know what, actually, it's not about what my way is or how I want them to work. Yeah. Are they actually getting success? And, you know, in that situation, I noticed straight away, actually, they're all getting their success in their own ways. And it definitely isn't the way that I would coach it. But there's nothing wrong with that. You know, sometimes it's taking a step back and looking at what the players can do and assessing what they are able to achieve and how they go about achieving that, and then utilizing that information and adding that to your bank of knowledge, essentially, as a coach. You know, so kind of, just to kind of build on that, then, you know, interested to know a bit more about your philosophy and the fundamentals to your philosophy as a coach and the way that you...
Yeah, I echo what you said there. I think when you first start out coaching, you get taught this is the way to coach and this is what it should look like. And you get that idea of, right, it must look like that. And I'm exactly what you say. I can remember experiences I've had where I've gone, yeah, you're right. Maybe the goalkeeper doing it that way, maybe that works. And maybe I've got to start thinking about how I'm coaching him in a different way to this player to get success. And then, yeah, I definitely think as a young coach, you get regimented with that idea. But the better coaches and the older ones, you then step back and go, right, now I need to change my style for him. So in terms of my coaching philosophy now, I try to cover everything. So looking at the technical parts of a goalkeeper, what they should have, being able to sort of repeat them actions consistently, but also with their own style. So making sure that they're individualised and not all the same, because you don't want to create six of the same goalkeepers. And then, yeah, so that's sort of the technical part. In terms of physical, I like to make sure that even if it's a tall goalkeeper or a small goalkeeper, that they're quick, agile. But then also important in terms of the social side of it, being able to take charge and developing that character more. So putting them in situations where they've got to communicate to each other within drills, or someone's got to take charge, just to make sure that as that character, as a goalkeeper, it's sort of a show at the weekend, if you like, that you've got to put on a show of being that loud character. And then away from football, they might not be that character. So it's helping develop them within the sport, really, to make sure that they're able to, if that makes sense.
No, definitely 100%. It is really much, much more specifically around that tailored approach for each individual. And I think, you know, it's definitely the way that, you know, I guess coaching has moved along massively over the last few years in having a more holistic approach, but actually looking, putting the player at the center of that development and that program. Often use the term that the player should be the syllabus now. It's not about us setting a program, you know, of our choice and just asking the players to kind of conform and fit within that, if that makes sense. It is about designing around the individual themselves. You know, so kind of just, you know, in what's still, I guess, a relatively young career, you've still, you know, you've had substantial experiences over the last few years, and since you've obviously, you know, started quite young. And yeah. I'm interested to know then, you know, what, even at such a young age, what does keep you inspired and motivated to keep pushing on, and you know, where does that come from?
Do you know what, it's going to sound really cliche, and I'm sure some people have said this on here, but the fact that you never get it right 100% of the time, so you're constantly chasing that improvement or wanting to better yourself as a coach, or you might, I don't know, for me, it's watching my goalkeeper at the weekend and going, right, we've done all that work throughout the week, what have they got right? Brilliant. Oh, okay, they've got that wrong. And then that bit they might have got wrong, or a bit not 100% right, that's sort of my focus of, right, we've got to nail that. And I don't know, it's just sort of the best thing about being a coach, and I'm sure everyone will say it, is if you have a kid from 8 or 9 and then you see where they end up at 13, 14, even though it's 5, 6 years, that development, and you step back and you go, yeah, it was nice to be a part of that. So that constant improving someone, not just as a goalkeeper, as a person, and wanting to learn more and more, because I think the more open-minded you are as a coach is the better, because some coaches, myself included, there's been times where I thought, oh, I know it all for this level of goalkeeper I'm working at, and then actually you're wrong, you don't know it all, there's just so much to take on. And then yeah, there's so much that I love about coaching, it keeps me inspired. So yeah, I'm sure same for you, you give up all them evenings and weekends, the social time, Saturday, Sunday mornings, but it's all worth it in the end.
No, and certainly I can relate to that 100%. You know, I think, you know, kind of just to kind of build on that, you know, obviously you were having worked with, you know, various different goalkeepers, and probably seen a load of different coaches, and obviously being coached by many as well. You know, what would you say one of your biggest bugbears are when it comes to coaching?
Oh, that's a different one. Biggest bugbears. I think you can sort of see a session when it's planned or not planned. You know what I mean? I think for me, I've been guilty of it. There's been times where I've gone, I'm going to do this today, and I know what the session is, and then I've gone and done it, and it hasn't gone as well as I thought. And I've gone, right, I really need to step back. And I think I've tried to plan even more so now. So, yeah, for me, the planning part of it, like, I've tried to really sort of elevate that. I know we do all anyway, but there can be times where you go, right, we're working on this today. Yep, I know what I'm going to do. And then it doesn't maybe go as well as you wanted. So, yeah, the planning part for me.
Mm. And you talked there about, you know, that planning part. And I think a lot of coaches, you know, certainly, you know, we've all been there at some point in our journeys where, you know, we probably haven't planned as well as, you know, as well as we should have, or not even planned at all, and just probably literally just said, right, you know, I've seen that session take place on the weekend over there. I've seen that session a couple weeks ago or wherever, and I'm just going to nick that and do that instead. You know, would you mind just going through, you know, on that note, what you maybe follow as a planning process for yourself then when you're designing a session, when you're putting sessions together?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think I've tried to make it now for Asmir stuff, like, we've got a syllabus of what we need to cover and what we think a goalkeeper should have. But then for myself, I look at, one, how many goalies are in the session, first of all, the type of session we're doing. So is it a day before a game? Is it the start of the week where I know I can do some more power stuff, more really pushing the goalkeeper? And then, like, the tactical elements as well. So if, let's say it's a Friday before a game, we might be working on, I don't know, dealing with crosses, for example, and trying to really paint that specific scenario of what are you going to face tomorrow. Doesn't need to be 100 mile an hour blowing at your backside. It could be literally just 5 or 6 sharp reps on this scenario is what you're probably going to face. So really catering it for the goalkeeper. But then at the same time, trying to make sure you hit them objectives of, right, pre-match session, we need to make sure we cover that topic, really, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, you know, just on that, then, you know, you talked there about linking, I guess, essentially.
Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
The individual work into the unit and teamwork, and, you know,
yeah.
For those coaches that maybe are, you know, still kind of, you know, novices or not too familiar with the goalkeeping role and how that kind of works, what does that look like in terms of, you know, involving the goalkeepers in the team sessions, and I guess collaborating with players within the group? Because, you know, plenty of time, I think, especially when you look at grassroots environments more specifically, yeah. A lot of coaches probably are challenged in some ways, maybe not understanding how to quite integrate the goalkeeper into the group, or vice versa, bring the group into the goalkeeping sessions. Would you mind just sharing a bit of information around that?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like, I know you'll agree as well, the UEFA B licence goalkeeping, that was the best part about that for me, was learning how to manage the goalkeeper within units and how to create sessions on that. So in terms of that, for grassroots things, I think that's something I see a lot, is that, you're right, the coach might not have a goalkeeping background or understand it as much, so the goalkeeper just goes in goal, or they might do a little bit of playing out from the back. But for the outfield coach, it's as important they develop the goalkeeper as it is the outfielders. But it's the same for us. We've got to make sure we're developing the goalkeeper, but socially for him, he's in with the group as well, because you spend a lot of time as goalkeepers, didn't you, away from the group. So it's making sure that socially they get that interaction. But sometimes the role of a goalkeeper coach might be to take an outfield session. And I think that's what the best goalkeeper coaches, and the ones who are confident enough to go, do you know what, I'm going to step into that world of, right, I'm going to take a plan out from the back session, and we're going to work with the whole team. We're going to focus it on the goalkeeper, but also making everyone else feel involved. And that's something I've learned. And at the start, I was a bit reluctant to go, well, I've got to step in and do that, like a few years back. But now, sort of going, right, now that's what the goalkeeper needs, and that's what the back four needs. So having that adaptability to go from goalkeeper coach to maybe working with a unit or half a team, so important. And I think for any grassroots coaches maybe listening to this, or any academy coaches, myself included, having that adaptability and being able to do that is massive.
No, I certainly echo that. And I think one of the biggest challenges I've certainly seen over my years of coaching is that, especially in grassroots environments, and even in some academies still, you know, that I've been exposed to, and I've seen, there's still that segregation of the goalkeepers are over there, and the outfield players are over here. And I think still some people, you know, trying to find it challenging to see how they can integrate not only the goalkeeping players, but also goalkeeping coaches as well within the integrated model. You know, I certainly think for me, and it'll be interesting to get your views on it, in how, just to emphasize how important it really is that the goalkeepers do get conscious work with the players. Not too much isolated work, but actually generally, you know, I've had situations where I've worked at clubs before, and I might say to the, you know, the head coach or the lead coach, you know, I need to work with the goalkeepers, but I need players to work with them too.
Yeah.
And rather than giving you the players, giving you access to players that are actually used on the match day, they just basically hand you, you know, the reserves or the ones that are not expected to play, as an example. And, you know, first of all, what are your thoughts on that? And secondly, you know, would you mind speaking to maybe just how important it probably is to even actually more so have the work with the actual players they're going to work with on the match day? Because it's about, you know, for me, it's about building those relationships as well.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say about building relationships. I think you can do your hour work with a goalkeeper, and they say, right, we need him at, I don't know, midday. And you go, right, hour work into that. But that's good, because you need that time with the goalkeeper. But at the same time, you need to know what you're throwing the goalkeepers into. So that, like I say, that planning process of, right, I know we're playing, for example, I don't know, let's say you're working elite level, you're working with Barcelona, you're playing against Barcelona at the weekend, and you know you're going to get peppered with shots and you have less of the ball. Then that, as a goalkeeper coach or a goalkeeper, you know, you need that relationship with the back four to block shots, to get in the way of it, So yeah, that might be in training where you need players to come over, like you say, but the relevant players. So I need my back four, because having mannequins doing a shooting drill for the goalkeeper, it's good and it works on technique, but you need that real movement of players. So him organising the back four, where he wants them to be to block a shot or throwing bodies in the way, little situations like that, like the specific scenarios you're going to face, like you say. So I think the role of a goalkeeper coach and the role of the outfield coach communicating is massive, because there might be one little session you do, even if it's 15, 20 minutes, where you work on one scenario with the goalkeeper managing that relationship and organising people. It's massive when it comes to match day, because if you don't do it, then they won't be as ready for that scenario. It sounds really silly, but it might be one shot where the goalkeeper isn't sure how to organise a player and they're not sure how to talk to him, and it goes in and people don't see that. They say, oh, well, it's gone in. But there's work you can do around that to help. So like you say, I think building relationships is massive, just for you as a coach, but the individual goalkeeper to have the confidence to do that as well.
Definitely. Kind of just to kind of build on that then, you know, from the goalkeeping coach's perspective, you know, what are some of the challenges that you find? And, you know, how do you go about breaking those barriers down? Because there's a lot of coaches out there who probably, again, whether it be lack of understanding or naivety, however you wish to view it, maybe still don't give enough credit or value to how much the goalkeeping coach can add to the team.
Yeah, I think so. And I definitely agree with what you say. It's an awkward one at times, because the outfield coach might write, this is our theme for the week. And you don't want to step on their toes and look like you're taking the whole session. I've had that, and I'm sure loads of coaches have had that. But then it comes down to the planning bit, like we say. So I might know we're playing, I don't know, any team in the week, 6 weeks down the line. I know we've got that fixture and I know what that game is going to look like. So 6 weeks prior or a month prior, you're going, right, what? How can I link in with the coach so that what I want to do, we can maybe plan that for 4 or 5 weeks so we know that block of work is going to be what I want it to look like. But it is a difficult thing because, like you say, in academies, there's more time and communication for stuff like that, or in the professional game, whereas grassroots, it's you might plan that and then half your team doesn't turn up for whatever reason. So I think the planning part is massive, and that ownership of the goalkeeper coach liaising with the outfield coach. And I know it's cliche, but that's what needs to be done, I think, even more.
Mm. No, and you talked there about, but you know, that relationship and, you know, managing that relationship. But I think a key part for me is there's probably still a lot of coaches that are probably, again, like I said, still don't maybe give enough credit or value to how much the goalkeeper coach can have an input. And yeah. You know, for me, you know, it'd be interesting to get your views in terms of how you go about building that. But if you talk with her about academies and having, you know, as the years have gone on, and you know, I think rightly so, the academies and just a sport and elite sport in general, have moved down this path of becoming more holistic. You know,
yeah. The
FA work with the four corner models within football, they, you know, it's largely used, but still, there's still some resistance from a lot of outfield coaches working with goalkeeping coaches, and there's still, you know, to some extent, that a little bit of that divide and that segregation between the two. So, you know,
Yeah. Even
in academies where they're almost, yes, they're putting the player at the center of the development and they're trying to make it as holistic as possible, there's still some of that resistance. So, you know, what would your advice be to maybe coaches who are kind of on either side of that equation, both as goalkeeping coaches? What would you advise them in terms of trying to develop and build that relationship? And from the outside?
Yeah, and I think having an understanding, it's a really good question, to be fair. And I think the sooner we nail it as a whole, I think there'll be a massive difference. Don't get me wrong, I think there's examples of where it's really progressed. And I think there's a lot of outfield coaches now who, like you say, have more of an understanding of the work the goalkeeper coach does and how important it is. But on the flip side, for me, I always think, right, I'm lucky here because I've got four goalies, that's one position, but he's got 20 players over there in 9 different positions. So I think as a goalkeeper coach, first of all, you've got to understand not the pressure, but the amount of work the outfield coach has got and what he's trying to cover. And then you're coming in saying, right, we need to work on this. So the planning part of it, building that relationship, is the first thing I'd suggest, like communicating, understanding more about the work he does as well. So for example, if you're doing a playing out session in 3 weeks' time, speaking to him prior to that about, all right, what do you want to look at for your session? How can I help you? So it's an awkward one because it might be a bit of nervousness for some people who, and I've had it as well, and I still have it now when I go up to someone and go, I need to work on this, but I know that's your theme. How do I approach that? So yeah, building that relationship is massive, and sort of coming out of your comfort zone, even if you get it wrong, at least you're showing that you're trying to understand the work they're doing. And long term, it's going to be a benefit because you're going to build the relationships. They're going to trust you more. And yeah, you'll probably end up taking more sessions because of that.
Mm. And you talked there about, you know, that point you made about, you know, you're as a goalkeeper, but you're probably going to have maybe 3-4 goalkeepers that you work with. And obviously, you know, the other coaches have maybe got five times it. And I think that, you know, there's almost an opportunity there in itself, that actually there's probably an opportunity for the goalkeeping coach, or even the coach, to say, do you know what, actually go and work with these ones, because we, you know, I can be, you know, as an outfield coach, I can maybe more tailored and specific around the work I'm doing with the rest of the group. And if I've handed maybe the back four to you, or the back five, however you wish to view it, you know, if I've handed those defenders over to you, and you can maybe just include some of that more tactical, and you know, that the relationship building work around that piece. But I think even within that, when you've now got those players involved, how much of your work is then tactical, and how much of it is, you know, is, I guess, technical from a goalkeeper standpoint?
I like to think when you go into that environment of the goalkeeper and the outfielders, it's more tactical, because I think that 45-hour, half hour, whatever you get beforehand, is your technical work. And then, so for example, if we was doing a shot on a session on defending the penalty area, my 45 minutes before that might be dealing with shots through bodies using mannequins, for example. And then we're going into the session with the back four or whatever it is, and the two midfielders in front. And then, you know, right, that was the technical part of what it looked like, the shots coming through the mannequins and you having to react as the goalkeeper. Now the tactical part of you organising your back four and making sure that you're screening, blocking. That's the part of the work where I wouldn't be too worried about the technical actions of the goalkeeper within that. Be more focused on how are they communicating, what they're organising, do they understand where, how deep they are, how high up they are, for example, them sort of things. And then within that, it's trying to make it competitive, because you don't want to feel like the outfield players who've come over, the manager sacked us off, we're going with the goalie coach just because he needs bodies. You then need to flip it and go, right, let's make this, I don't know, competitive. Strikers v us lot as a team, how many can they score, how many can we block? So there's always ways around the scenario, and that's something I'm still trying to develop and make sure that, like, you're building the relationships as a goalkeeper coach with the outfield players as well, because you're going to need them at times, and there might be times where they're a little bit deflated because they're not in the outfield session, they're with you, and you've got to try and flip that perspective that the work you're doing with the goalkeeper and them is as important as the work the outfield coach is doing.
So just on that note then, you know, in situations where you maybe had to bring those players across, are you also maybe taking into consideration what their own individual needs are? And their
development? Yeah, 100%. I think, like, for situations where we might get the fullbacks at, for crossing or something like that, that making sure, right, what types of crosses do they need? And what, like, they might have six crosses and these fluff three of them, or these overhit four of them. How can we help him deliver that? And how, I always try and flip it into the perspective of, if I was the outfielder, what would I want to know and get the advantage of the goalkeeper of, if that makes sense? So if I'm the fullback crossing and I see the goalkeeper's too high, right, we need to educate the fullback on, can you get it further across so it takes the goalkeeper out of the game? So then you're trying to sort of bounce the ideas off each other. So goalkeeper and the fullback are second guessing each other for crossing. And I think that's important. So yeah, so obviously you're the goalkeeper coach, but there's a lot of understanding from the goalkeeper position that you can help people with.
Yeah.
Even strikers do it with them and go, do you actually look at the goalkeeper and what he does before you shoot? And obviously Harry Kane's a great example. Most of the time he doesn't even look at the goal because he knows where it is. And I think, like, just the way he finishes, there's certain elements that you can learn off that. And I'm sure goalkeepers are trying to study him. So that's more of a perspective of the goalkeeper understanding what he's up against, and then the flip side of that as well, the outfielder.
No, I totally agree. And I think, you know, you look at it from that perspective, one of the things that, you know, so over the last couple of years, you know, I've been heavily involved in coach education myself. Yeah. And one of the key messages I always try and get across to coaches and you know, people on the courses is that when you're planning a session, for me anyway, if I'm planning an in possession session as an example, I need to make sure first and foremost that the out of possession players are working effectively. Because if they're not working effectively, if they're not doing everything they can, or if I haven't put them in if I haven't, I guess, supported them or directed them in performing in a certain way, that's going to have a direct impact on the realism of what I'm trying to get across with my players that I'm actually targeting. So as an example, if we are looking at your situation, we talked there about the fullbacks and the goalkeepers. Well, actually, I don't want a goalkeeper just collecting crosses. I want him to collect crosses that are actually going to be realistic. You put in there to kind of be kept away from him, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But also in line with what's real to the game. So as an example, if you know, if my goalkeeper's on the edge of the 6-yard box, as an example, I'm not expecting him to catch a cross on the edge of the box.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unrealistic, but then, you know, but I'm also challenging the player putting the cross in. Can you put it in a zone or an area that we'd expect a player to be in if the player's not in the practice for whatever reason? But that's not going to be collected by the goalkeeper, if that makes sense, and have that, and you know, almost redirect and kind of reinforce that message again and again and again. So it kind of challenges the goalkeeper around not just the technical element of actually being able to handle the ball and deal with the cross as and when it comes in, but also understanding the tactical side of things and understanding, right, actually, yes, there might not be an opposition in this practice, but would I really come for that cross?
Yeah.
Just for the sake of it, if that makes sense. To kind of build on that, then, you know, we talk about some of the challenges in terms of trying to build relationships and obviously establish a stronger foothold in the development overall as goalkeeping coaches, and obviously trying to, you know, present in some ways the value that you can add to the team in that respect. What, you know, I'm just interested to know about your own coaching journey. I know, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've kind of faced over the years? And it might be something that you're still dealing with. If so, then, you know, what are your plans to kind of overcome and deal with that? But also if it's something that you have been able to deal with, how did you get around it?
Yeah, do you know what? I think the thing I'm always dealing with in the back of my head and in my head, even now, today, tomorrow, whenever, is working with people more experienced and people with playing backgrounds, because I've had a playing background, but it's been grassroots. It's not been Premier League, Champions League, or professional career for 20 years. So I'm always dealing with, right, I didn't have that career as a player, so I need to make sure I'm doing everything to be the best coach I can and to build that relationship and just putting yourself out there. As horrible as it is going out of your comfort zone, I know everyone says it and people go, well, everyone says that, but to put yourself out there that first time and go, do you know what, coach, manager, can I lead a session working on playing out from the back? And you can tear it to shreds if you want after and whatnot, but that first step of being able to do that, you might miss things and you might not have as much of an understanding as the outfield coach at times, but the fact your willingness to put yourself out there, that's probably the first thing I had to do. And I'm sure you've had to do it as well. It's that horrible, oh, I've got to do it. But to be a better coach further down the line, I'm going to have to do that now. So sort of the first thing would be putting yourself out of the comfort zone. And in terms of my own experiences of that, yeah, like I say, about dealing with people more experienced and people who've been in that environment for years and first coming into it, trying to showcase what you can do, but in a respective way, if that makes sense.
Hmm. I think, you know, certainly you talk, you know, especially, you know, working at a club like Chelsea, you know, in the academy, you probably have got a lot of ex-pros or people with substantial playing experience in some capacity, if not substantial coaching experience, you know, I think, you know, the thing that you kind of want to take away is that, you know, you are in that environment too. So obviously you've got something to offer too. And I think it's just finding where you can plug those holes, essentially. So I think, you know, no, thank you for sharing. And then I'll kind of just kind of, as we start to wind down now, then if we now take you back to the start of your coaching journey back at 16, you know, initially as a player, still being coached and, you know, in those sorts of environments, I'm interested to know now then, with some of the experiences that you've been able to accumulate over the years and now, you know, where you are currently and knowing what you know now, if you could go back and maybe speak to yourself when you first got into coaching, what are some of the messages that you'd want to give yourself around, you know, what to expect and maybe how to what kind of mindset to adopt, maybe?
Yeah, definitely. I think the first thing would be, it's a long road and it's an uncomfortable road at times. And you've got a lot of accountability as a coach for a child's development, whether it's grassroots, academy, or trying to like work the way into the professional game. I think you've got a lot of accountability and preparing yourself right. I think as a player, you obviously, at any age, you prepare, you warm up, you do your training, but as a coach, there's so much more to it, isn't there? There's the planning, there's the individual match day, there's your own development as a coach, your personality. So I think what I'd say to myself would be, is be adaptable and open-minded. So you've got a lot of learning to do and you don't know nothing. Like when you're 16, you think you might know a bit about football, but in the development of as a coach, you don't know half as much as some other people. So it's being able to sort of step into that firing line and take criticism and take, not the blame, it's the wrong word, but being able to take advice. Because I think as a coach, everyone will critique everyone, and that's part of your development. But in the long run, yeah, as a 16-year-old, I'd say, yeah, be adaptable.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you for that. You know, obviously now, Jack, you know, you're currently working at Chelsea Senior Academy, you know, working with 11, 12s, but, you know, recently done your UEFA B goalkeeping coaching qualification. Where do we go next from here?
That's a good question. I thoroughly, obviously, loved working at Chelsea. I'm very fortunate to work there. It's an amazing environment. And obviously with ASME stuff, I'm very fortunate to work there as well. I think for me, it is more learning. Like you say, just passing UEFA B goalkeeping in the summer, I've got a lot to do before I even think about the outfield or goalkeeping A license. So just more of that experience, more maybe dealing with older players. And yeah, just putting myself out there really to help out with older age groups when I can. And for Asmir's work, maybe try and expand into new opportunities where it's sort of, like I say, out of my comfort zone a bit. And yeah, exactly.
Again, still relatively young in the coaching space, but, you know, with a few years experience under your belt, albeit, what would your messages be now? If I gave you 60 seconds to kind of leave listeners with some golden nuggets from your own journey or your perspective, in the lessons that you've learned throughout your journey, what would that be?
I think knowledge is obviously so powerful. Sounds like I'm doing a seminar or something there, but the more you can understand and the more you can learn, the better coach you're going to be. So even for me now, I'm trying to learn different language, Spanish. Just think, because you never know like what might happen in terms of where you go with your coaching career. But being open-minded would be the biggest thing I'd say. So take other people's opinion on board, because it's going to make you a better coach and a better person. And what else would I suggest? Obviously, a philosophy is important. I think that's something. So understand what you want to coach and how your style of coaching is and what's your end goal in terms of that philosophy. So is it more tactical, more technical, physical, whatever it is, it's making sure that it develops along the way. Because your philosophy, when you start out coaching 5-6 years down the line, might look completely different.
I think you talked there about, you know, learning a new language. And I think that's a massive thing as well, because, you know, especially if you've got ambitions of working in the pro game or the elite game in some ways, I think back to an experience I had a few years ago, and I was working with a group of players, and I had probably in a squad of maybe 22 players around, probably had about 13 nationalities. Within the 13 different nationalities, you know, players from all over the world, you know, if you name it, East Africa, North Africa, you know, the south of Europe, and, you know, even Asia, and I think about even a couple of South Americans, but, you know, they all speak in different languages, and it really, for me at that time, showed to me, right, actually, because, you know, I was learning a bit of Spanish myself, innit, and having a few people from those Spanish-speaking countries and players from other countries, you know, really understood the importance of being able to maybe communicate in different ways, and, you know, especially when it comes to working with elite players, you're looking at, right, how do I get these messages across in a way that they'll understand it? You know, so I actually found myself maybe going to a friend of mine who could speak the languages quite well, and I guess sitting down with them and breaking down the terms that I would generally tend to use and what I define with those terms, and kind of give me some direct translations for it, so I can be kind of punchy with the, you know, with the information I'm giving across to some of these players. What I found was, you know, I had a couple of French speaking lads in that group as well. You know, my French is non-existent almost. but I had, you know, three groups, three French lads or from different countries, but one could maybe speak a little bit of English, very basic. Another one could, he wasn't fluent, but you could hold a conversation. And there was one that had no idea about English at all.
Yeah.
And so then I found myself relying on the other two, more specifically one of them, to kind of communicate that information. But there was one day where it just kind of hit me and I think, oh my gosh, what we're going to do if this guy's not here to help me, what am I going to do about this? My students were able to give that information across. So, you know, it really showed me the importance of being able to kind of understand the language and at least be able to communicate in a basic level so I can get my information across. So kind of, you know, just to really highlight, obviously, the importance of being able to understand different ways of communicating with players, and whether that be, you know, verbally through language, or whether that be, you know, finding more, I guess, non-verbal methods to kind of communicate that information is very key. So, you know, in a roundabout way, you know, you've talked a little bit about what kind of your journey, where you want your journey to go next, and some of the things that you kind of want to achieve in your journey.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just now conscious now, as we start to really wind down here, and what's the impact that you want to kind of have on the people that you come in contact with? So, you know, just by being here in this conversation with me now, you know, you've made yourself part of the Coaches Network. And what is the message that you kind of want to leave with the rest of the community?
That's a good question. And I think since lockdown, it's definitely, like you say, you've had a lot more time at home and a lot more time to think about how you want to improve yourself, whether it's through languages, through learning, doing podcasts like this, meeting new people in the Coaches Network, whatever it is, Zoom. I think the impact I'd like to leave is someone who's always got time for other people. And I've always stood by that, because whether it's your coaching, you want to develop players, like all the players you work with, you want to see them in the Premier League or professional footballers, but numbers wise, that's not always going to happen. So you want to make sure that you leave a good relationship with the kids you're working with when they're older, that they'll remember that, and hopefully it helps them in a positive light. But I think for myself, that would be the key message, is sort of being someone that's open to talking to anyone really, and having a relationship with anyone who wants to know about football and develop.
Mm. And, you know, on that note, you know, if there was any listeners or viewers that, you know, wanted to get in touch with you to maybe kind of learn a bit more about your journey and to discuss some of the things that we've touched on in this conversation, or maybe even beyond that, is there some way they can get in touch with you to do that?
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that. Literally yesterday I was sitting here, I had a spare hour or two, and I was thinking, I've got this time on a Friday, what can I do? So I just literally made up a little PowerPoint slide of let's talk goalkeeping, and I put every Friday 4:30 to 5:30 on Zoom. I just put it on LinkedIn, Instagram, whatever, and had a few people come back. And it's literally just going to be a goalkeeping discussion. So if anyone wants to jump on that, it'll be on LinkedIn, and just little bits like that. I think trying to create that environment where, like, I might not get to be able to talk to professional goalkeeper coaches in different countries. So that's the only way, probably via Zoom at the moment and stuff like that. So just trying to network, really. But for anyone who wants to get in contact, my Instagram is Jack Hadley, GK, all lowercase. That's literally it. If anyone's got any questions. And then, yeah, obviously, it'd be part of the Coaches Network now, so I'm more than happy to share posts and stuff on there. Or, yeah, anyone wants to message.
Well, there you have it, guys. Another episode of the Coaches Network podcast, where our aim is to bring the world of athlete, talent, and personal development together to just one platform. And you can help us with that mission right now by sharing this episode or any of your favorite episodes with everyone that you can think of. You can tag us in those mentions as well on Instagram at the Coaches Network, or on Twitter at the Coaches Net. We look forward to hearing from you. Let us know what you thought about today's episode. And until next time, guys, take care.
Liberty sees me, it stands by me, and celebrates me for who I am.
When I come into the office, I feel that I belong here.
I don't have to be corporate America Gabby. I can just bring Gabby to work.
Reach your potential and find a job you love at Liberty Mutual. We offer development training, rich benefits, and a culture that lets you bring your whole self to work, so you can pursue your tomorrow today. Ready to consider a career at Liberty Mutual? Find out how at libertymutualcareers.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.